Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
I zoned out for a second.
You were like trying to get your line or something like that? I thought you were like, I was, do you want me to start? Hi, it's Kevin David Thomas.
And it's, line?
Cat got your tongue still.
I can't hear anything.
Oh, God.
Don't give it to me. That was my stretch for you.
Thank you for that.
Don't give it to me.
Oh, gosh.
Don't.
It's funny for you. Wasn't funny to be on stage with it.
Happy for me, not so happy for
God,
you.
Oh, God, I was uncomfortable.
Kevin.
Hey, Rob.
I'm so excited.
Oh, you are?
Woman of the Year is coming to Feinstein's 54 Below. I'm directing and producing it.
I'm so excited.
8 different Tess Hardings.
I mean, two shows?
Two shows, 7 o'clock
same
and 9:30.
Same cast for each show, you think?
Same cast.
For,
yeah, oh yeah, same cast for each show, but we have rotating Tesses.
Oh.
And rotating Sams, her love interest. So we're going to have different guys playing her love interest.
All those negative song titles. We're going to
shut up,
we'll
Gerald. The grass is always greener.
Shut up, Gerald.
When you're right, you're right. Who the fuck are you to tell me? I'll kick your ass. And one of Candor and Ebb's most tender ballads, go fuck yourself,
oh,
Mary.
God.
Just a classic in the American
so
theater.
So aggressive.
Shut up, Gerald. That's really what the song is. That's literally what it is. Just shut up, Gerald. Sorry.
No. I'm excited. I'm excited to...
You're going to come, right?
Yeah.
Did I tell you who the women are?
No. I only know who one of them are.
So it's Television's Eve Plum, who played Jan on The Brady Bunch.
Oh, wow.
Joyce DeWitt, who played Janet in Three's Company.
Joyce DeWitt, Rob.
I'm going to make the
offer.
That
is the golden calf right there. I
think when I shake her hand, I am then going to submit my letter of resignation to the industry. Because there's nothing else I can do at this point.
I feel like I've been talking about her forever as a joke usually, just because I love bringing her name up.
Because we love putting her in different shows across
America.
Her
Mama Rose at Algonquin Playhouse was amazing.
Oh, I would kill to see that.
It wasn't a thing. I just made that up. But
you lied to me. Why do you lie to me?
But I would love to see it.
So those are the two TV actresses.
When she called you, that must have been like, hi, this is Rob Schneider.
Well, she called and it came.
Joyce DeWitt.
No, Joycey.
Joycey.
Oh, don't think I didn't pass out on this floor where you're looking right now. It's usually an unknown number. So, sorry. She called and it came up as an unknown number.
Yeah.
That's usually my dad because he's a private investigator.
Right.
So I'm like, the only one who calls me unknown is my dad. So, right. So I pick up. I'm like, hey, what's going on?
It's like the familiar hello, not like the business one. No, but yeah.
Hi, this is Rob.
Yeah.
That's my business voice.
Oh, yeah.
Did you like that?
You raised the pitch to make it friendly and inviting and yet very official.
Yes, or phony. Some people say phony.
Yeah, well, I'm like, hello, hi. This is, hello, hi.
Hey, how are you? Hey. But I was like, hey, what's up? And she goes, Rob, this is Joycey DeWitt calling.
Oh.
And I was like, oh.
And you picked the phone back up after the floor.
Well, I literally sweat through two shirts. I'm not joking. No, why, Kevin? I'm being honest with you. I can talk to Stephen Sondheim.
Yeah.
I don't break a sweat. I can talk to this actor, I don't break a sweat. Joyce DeWitt calls me.
Right. And Christine Petty walks in the room and you're
like, George Clooney, get out of the way. Yeah, you're blocking Christine Petty.
Joyce, over here. Joycey. Yeah.
Joycey,
you're right next to me.
So she's doing it. And then my other, oh my God, how blessed am I? Here are the others. Ready?
Hashtag blessed, Rob.
Or as the young kids say, booked and blessed.
Oh, Jesus.
Are you doing it? Can you be in this show? I can. I'm in another show. Hashtag booked and blessed.
No way.
Seriously. I pick up on so much new lingo hanging out with young kids.
You're so cool, Rob.
Well, you know, I'm kind of hip. I'm crank.
No, moving on.
Crunk.
I don't know, Rob.
Chunky?
I don't know.
Debbie Shapiro Gravitt.
Love it.
Deidre Goodwin. Christine Toy Johnson.
I love Christine.
Dee Hody. Barbara Walsh.
Oh.
And Christine Petty.
These are great ladies.
And some of the guys?
Yeah.
Bob Cuccioli.
Cucci-coo.
Jim Walton. Brad Oscar. John Tracy Egan.
Wow.
Hunter Ryan Hrdlicka. It's a big old, and I'm going to get more guys. More guys are coming in.
Good, good, good.
So come, and it's a great score. It's such a good score. Sometimes a day goes by.
Oh, I just was working on that today with Hunter.
How ironic. He's not singing that. He's not singing that one. He's a little too young for that one. But we're going to give him something else fun to do.
What's the song that I talked about on the rehearsal footage that, you know, Bacall is doing?
One of the boys. That's Eve Plum.
One of the boys.
I'm one of the girls who's one of the boys. You like it on that rehearsal footage because it's that choreographer being like, now, when I say one of the boys, do I put my hand on my hip?
He tries to go through it all, and you're like, it's all bad. It's all bad.
And you know Lauren Bacall's going to just do whatever she wants with it.
Yeah, she don't care.
She don't care. She's going to put your hand wherever you want.
Yeah.
Lauren, I was thinking, okay, we'll take it from the top. That's my favorite when you work with a big name. Like, you spent all this time preparing mentally. I'm sure you do this, too, as a music director. You prepare. It's going to go like this. It's going to go like this. And as soon as you go in, so we're going to do this. Nope. Okay.
Well, there's 3 hours of pre-production out the window. Fine.
Okay. She doesn't have to put her hand on her hip. She doesn't want to. It's not like I spent 4 hours on it. That's my angry voice.
No, I saw it. I was very angry.
Oh, okay.
Sassy angry.
Well, that's a choice.
Van Johnson angry.
So loud. That's my Van Johnson. I'm doing La Cage aux Folles, and it's great. So loud, this band. You're like, shut up, old man. Shut up, Van Johnson. Okay, little Hollywood trivia.
Ooh.
Van Johnson was notorious for always wearing blank. He had a piece on his body that he wore all the time, a clothing piece. What was his thing?
Bow tie.
No.
A pocket, a certain color in his pocket thing.
A certain color. There was a color that he always wore. Are you ready?
A bandana in his his back pocket.
Like the old days. Know what that means. Exactly. We know what that means.
Wasn't it like, what didn't it used to be in the day? Like a if certain it was, color
if you, yes,
was
if
a
you,
certain thing.
If you had a yellow handkerchief in your right back pocket, it meant you worked at Metro. Mm-hmm. And if it was one in the left, it meant you worked at MGM. Which is the same thing.
Yes, exactly. Gotcha. Okay, so.
Trivia.
So what is it?
Red socks. Oh, he always wore red socks.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah.
Good bit of trivia there, Rob.
Jerry Lewis never wore the same pair of socks twice. He would...
Just toss them.
Toss them.
Weird.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it is a little weird.
But yeah, I love celebrities that like have those little things about them. Like they always wear Maybe I should do something like that.
Well, it's usually a button-up shirt with a sweater.
True. Yeah. But I was thinking maybe something simpler and a color.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Maybe I should wear red socks.
Get
but
some
like,
glasses that are a certain color and then just keep them on your forehead all the time.
Oh, that's a really great idea. What if the color of the glasses match like the color of my tie?
Ooh, Rob, that's very classy.
Oh, my God. I have to go to Warby Parker now and buy a whole bunch of frames. Sorry, guys. I got to go. I'm so happy that you got to sit here while I figured out my life. What does this have to do with Broadway? I don't know,
Kevin.
Not a lot. Not a lot. Not a lot at this point. But I got to talk to Joyce DeWitt. Oh, can I tell you someone else who I think is a real class act?
Who?
You know who else I tried to get into the concert?
Who?
Judith Light.
Oh, yeah.
So I emailed her agent. I got an email response back from her personally.
Good.
Saying, I can't, I'm unavailable, but thank you for asking me.
That's so nice.
Come on.
Yeah, no, it's the people that started out in theater that go back to their theater roots. During Little Night Music, movie stars and theater stars would come to see that show backstage. There's only 15 people in the cast, so you're always seeing these people. The people who are nice backstage were always, no matter how big a star they were, the ones who started out in theater were the ones that would say hi to the ensemble. They would be like, great show. The ones who only did movies, though, and never did stage tended to be the jerks, thinking that it was all about them still. In a theater, when you go backstage, all bets are off. It's about the cast who was performing backstage.
Really. How interesting. I find that too. I find if they got started in the theater, they're just really like...
Down home. They understand that it takes a village. You know, we're all in this together kind of sentiment. Yeah. You know,
but you find the film actors are kind of like...
Sometimes the film actors are a little more aloof and a little more, you know, pushed back.
But you know, you say Catherine Zeta-Jones, who got started in theater, was very chill.
Oh, she was like amazing. Very chill. Lovely human being.
That's so cool. Yeah. I love hearing that.
Yeah. No, it's possible. So anyway,
that's your thing. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. So people being nice.
I like that.
But yeah, Judith Light emailed me personally. How sweet is that?
Cool. It's classy.
We should get her on the show.
I love that.
Can I tell you something about her?
Yeah.
Hands down, the best. Oh,
it's Broadway. Saying, Broadway emailing.
Saying we still don't want you. She was the best Joanne in Company I ever saw in my life.
Really?
L.A. did Reprise? I never know how to say it.
Sure.
Yeah.
You say potato. I say Reprise.
The Los Angeles equivalent of Encores
right.
did Company.
Uh-huh.
And it was Chris Sieber was Bobby.
Hmm.
And it was a whole bunch of, like, you know, television actors
right.
playing the couples. And some of them were really good. She, fucking Judith Lightman as Joanne, was brilliant.
Yeah.
The best Joanne I ever saw in my life. Smart, biting, funny. Her Ladies Who Lunch was fantastic.
Yeah.
It, like, grabbed you in the gut and didn't let go. I was always hoping that she would do it again at some point. But she was an amazing Joanne. So the best Joanne I ever
I
saw
love that.
Was Judith Light.
Cool.
So I'm done with that.
Is that your favorite thing?
That was my favorite. Judith Light is always just my favorite always. Thing.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
No, we should talk about favorite. No, I have a totally different favorite thing.
What's your favorite thing?
It's a website, Kevin.
Ooh.
It is a website that I started to realize how much I visited on a daily basis for, like, referencing
okay.
stuff and historical stuff. And I've never once acknowledged how brilliant this website is and how everyone should be aware of it because it really is fantastic. It is. I bet you use it too.
Sure, I do.
Okay, so my favorite thing this week, ladies and gentlemen, is a website called musicals101.com.
It's great.
Musicals isn't it amazing?
John Kendrick? Is
John
it?
Kendrick yeah. runs it. So for those of you who don't know, Musicals 101 is this amazing musical theater website that is so wonderfully put together. First of all, it is very comprehensive. It is very detailed. But what John has done on this thing is has made it so user-friendly. I tell all my students on the first day, I'm like, bookmark this site, add it to your home screen, because you're going to be coming to it all the time. So what he does is, I mean, he not only gives you a history of stage musicals and film musicals and television musicals, he also Liz gives you specific chronologies of everything that opened in these years, how many performances, what theater it was at. There's wonderful essays on vaudeville and George M. Cohan and burlesque.
They've been there for years, but he's had this website for, I would say, close to a decade now.
Yes.
But it's not one of those websites that has been dusty and doesn't, he constantly is adding stuff. He's constantly generating more, you know, product, basically.
Oh, yeah, and reviews. He's always got reviews going on and shows that are on CD. I mean, things on Ziegfeld, a whole thing on A Chorus Line, yep. things about the LGBT movement in theater. I mean, this website is really fantastic, but don't be intimidated. I don't want people to think it's academic,
yeah.
he does it in such a way that everyone can really understand it. So I always recommend it to my students.
Oh, it's a but great I find myself, resource.
I'm like, I think I'm on here like every single day,
wow.
and we've never once acknowledged John. And John also wrote a book on musical
say,
theater
he
history.
He definitely is published.
Yeah, John Kenrick. So make sure you guys take a look. You can buy the book once you go to the website. You can like, there's a link there.
Gotcha.
So we'll also post a link as well. But musicals101.com is my favorite thing this week.
Oh, it's a great one. one. That was a really good
one. You're going to get, I'm going to warn you, when you click on there, guys, you're going to be on there for a long time.
And it is no, if it hasn't changed since I've seen it, but it's no frills. I mean, it literally is, it's information, which is probably why it does feel academic, although I love the simpler websites. I sound old, but it's true. You know, I like that it's just, the format is very simple. You go where you, go whatever rabbit hole you want to go in.
But he's got
know?
Photos on there and images. Oh, yeah. It's yeah, not yeah, like yeah. it's just oh, no, text. No, no, no. Yes, yeah,
but it's not like, there's not 20 million things happening as you turn on the website.
No,
you
there's know, not like 90 like, banner ads.
Yeah, yeah, no. But it's great. You're right. He's fantastic. And what he's been doing for the art form and celebrating it and educating people about it for these years, really hats off to you, Mr.
Yeah,
Kendrick.
So, you know, we would love to sit down and talk with him at some point about yeah. how he amassed all of this stuff. But so once again, my favorite thing this week is musicals101.com. Once Excellent. Again, musicals101.com. John Kendrick, you have done amazing work. And on behalf of all the educators out there, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, because I use it like every single day.
And I used it for my own personal, like when I first moved to New York, all in my early 20s, I read every single page that he posted. Every thing. I went down every single part.
Can I tell you what I did? Huh. I was so nervous that one day the website would go away. One day, years ago, I printed, I swear to God, every single page.
Bless you.
And put it in a huge 3-inch binder.
Of course you
just
did.
In case, like, God forbid, the website
were.
Yeah. In case it ever went away. So I kept all of it.
Bless you.
So thank you, John.
Oh, my gosh.
You've taught me so much. Kevin, what's your favorite thing?
Oh, my favorite thing is something you know is my favorite thing because I bring it up quite a little bit, especially with one of the guests we had a couple weeks ago.
Is this that freaking witch movie again from
no!
Halloween? Anything can happen on Halloween. Your dog could turn into a cat. Do my favorite line.
Has anyone seen my tambourine? Notice the key change.
Yes, thank you. That was good, Kev.
You're welcome. Halloween is over. So this is a movie that my sister and I used to watch when we were kids. And we are children of musical theater. My mom always played the Mary Martin, Peter Pan. But back in the 80s, there weren't a lot of opportunities to see musicals. There was no streaming. There was, you know, you could go to the store and get Bye Bye Birdie. Watch that a lot.
I watched that all the time.
Oh, all the time. But the Mary Martin Peter Pan, the stage version, I loved that. Well, this was a movie musical based on, it was a sequel to a movie. And it was made for, it was never a stage musical of this.
Oh my God.
It is.
Really?
Yes.
We've hit it?
We're doing it.
I'm ready. Tell me.
Grease 2. Grease Dose.
Directed and choreographed by
Patricia Birch, who was our guest a couple weeks ago. Listen to the interview. It's the interview where I edited it to make it sound like we asked her really good questions all the time, but in reality, she shot us down a lot. But she's no nonsense, that woman. Amazing.
She says some of her best stories off the air.
You're right.
She really, I wish we could repeat some of them.
She was the original choreographer for the original stage version of Grease and the original movie of Grease. And then Alan Carr, the great producer, decided to make a sequel of Grease. And then he let Pat be the director and choreographer. The score was not made by Warren Jacobs because, they probably were smart and they wanted to stay away. But Louis St. Louis, the great music director, wrote the songs. This movie takes place 2 years after the other kids graduated from Rydell High School, though you wouldn't know it because they all look like they're 35, but it doesn't matter.
They literally get an allowance in AARP.
It's hysterical. And they go and they do tie it in because Frenchie's in the movie. Dee Dee Khan is there still.
I love her.
Oh, yeah. Eve Arden, the great Eve Arden, is the principal still with her assistant principal. Dodie Goodman are there still there. Sid Caesar is still there. But the new students are, let me give you some of these names. Adrian Zmed, you might know. Michelle Pfeiffer, a very young Michelle Pfeiffer, in her first major role ever.
Yeah.
Maxwell Caulfield, who later said that the movie ruined his career because it was a flop. It was a big old flop, but it has since become a cult classic. But he says that movie...
Okay.
And the last star to join.
Because it really hurt Michelle Pfeiffer's career,
well,
too.
Exactly. Lorna Luft, the you know, Judy Garland's.
Who does she play?
She plays one of the, one of the pink ladies. But
she's not a teacher?
No.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying, the age stuff. It was 82. Oh, yeah. This movie came out in 1982. It has a 32% on the Rotten Tomatoes, and it is a 4.2 out of 10 stars. But do not let that throw you, my friends, because it is entertaining and wacky and wonderful. The roles, it's role reversal. So if in the original Grease, Sandy is the one who's kind of changes her ways to be good for the guy, to get the guy to go after her. You know what I mean? She's like the good girl becomes the bad girl, and that's how, like, you know.
Yeah.
You know? Well, in this movie, Stephanie has her name, Michelle Pfeiffer. Stephanie's the greaser. Stephanie's the one that changes tires on cars. She knows about, you know, she's a tough chick who is like a badass. And Michael is Sandy's cousin.
Oh, that's genius.
So he comes to the school as the outsider and he doesn't have many friends, kind of the hot nerd, and then subsequently takes on the persona of this cool rider. Hence their song being called Cool Rider, that goes a little something like this. He's a cool, 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 cool rider. Mm-hmm. Yep. Rob just yawned. Rob literally yawned in my face.
I wasn't yawning
now.
At you.
Some of the other great songs from the production numbers that Pat did are so fun. Silly. Is this like the most amazing movie you've ever seen? No, but is it entertaining? Yes. Is the answer to that. The songs, some of them are just like, there's a song where they go to the bowling alley and the men sing, "We're gonna score tonight."
Oh.
We're gonna score tonight. Dun, 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 dun. Score tonight.
That's
the
smart.
Other one, he wants the virgin girl. He wants to, you know, get a little some of that. So he takes her to the bunker, the out of use nuclear bunker, convinces her that the nuclear attack is coming. So she has to stay there with him. And he sings, "Let's do it for our country," in order to get her, in order to make it with her.
I feel a little sick.
Yeah, I know. It's wrong. It's just, they go, yeah, the fallout shelter. And then there's the great pageant piece that they do called Girl for All Seasons, where they go through all of the seasons of the year. They sing like, "I'll be your girl for all seasons." Yeah. So if you enjoy Grease, you're going to love Grease 2. Some people have argued that this movie is actually superior to the original Grease movie.
Would you agree with me that when we interviewed Pat, that she was kind of a tough nut to crack until we said to her, "Some people think Grease 2 is better than Grease 1.
Last thing she said in the interview was, "And thanks for watching Grease 2.
Yeah.
That, literally, I remember editing and I was like, "Oh,
I know so many people who say the they feel that Grease 2 is a better movie than Grease 1.
That's amazing.
So I don't know. What do you think, listeners? What do you think? Yeah. Do you think
Have you seen Grease 2? Do you know how campy and crazy it is and fun?
You know who's never seen Grease 2?
Who?
Peter Felicia.
Oh my gosh, Peter.
I had lunch with him.
Peter.
And he's like, "I've never seen Grease 2.
Peter.
He's seen 94 productions, you know, of
Grease.
Of Grease.
Yeah.
And
at
like
the Lake Valley View, you know, the nursing home players.
Yes. Yeah. Which is really good. I hope to direct for them at some point. Our Starlight Express is going to be really
just wheeling them around.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I got a vision.
Starlight Express.
I love that. I love Starlight Express. That's never been a favorite thing. I wonder why.
I do.
When are we going to get Jane Krakowski on this show to talk about?
I know. Where is she?
She said she wants to do it.
We're going to talk about Starlight Express with her.
Yeah, I told her. I said, it's not going to be anything about your film and TV career.
I don't want to hear about any of that.
It's only going to be about
Grand Hotel. Go.
I think she's a hoot. She's really, really funny.
She's lovely.
I heard a story. She has a good sense of humor about herself. Is when they did the first table reading of She Loves Me, the line before she enters for the first time is, "And there's Miss Ritter now." So the actor was like, "There's Miss Ritter now." And she did fake applause. It was like, "It's the girl from 30 Rock." Applause, applause, applause.
Oh, that's funny.
Then said her first line. She's like, "I just want everyone to be aware." As
that's
a joke,
funny.
Which I think
no, that's
is
good.
Genius.
That's funny.
We'll get her on. We'll get her
okay,
on.
Good.
So musicals101.com.
Fantastic. And Grease 2.
Go Grease Lightning.
No.
No Grease Lightning. This is Grease 2.
More like
two.
We're going back, back to school again.
How come they never
going
made a
back.
Grease 3 about the back. Faculty? Sid Caesar, Eve Arden.
Oh, Tab Hunter's in this
Tab
one.
Tab Hunter.
I didn't even tell you that. Yeah, Tab Hunter's in this one. Connie Stevens. Yeah.
Why don't they do one about the faculty?
Right?
Do you ever see Marsha Lewis as Miss Lynch from the revival of Grease?
No, but she's people that knew her love her.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
so that was
special.
Like pretty epic. Okay, so Grease 2.
Grease 2.
Musicals101.com.
Yeah, check it out.
I maybe want to go watch it now.
Yeah, you do.
I wish that never mind. I just wish there was a Grease 3 about the faculty. Just to hear Sid Caesar sing Mooning and then show his 80-year-old ass. would be great. Okay. I would go all the way with Eve Arden.
Okay, all right now.
I'm just saying.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.